This is the last day of this October 2011 7-day session. Today we'll take up another koan. This is, like yesterday's, is from the Mumon Khan, and it's number 19, Ordinary Mind is the Way. Case. Zhao Zhou, that's his Japanese name is Joshu, asked Nanchuan, his Japanese name is Nansen. Zhao Zhou asked Nanchuan, what is the way? Nanchuan answered, ordinary mind is the way. Zhao Zhou asked, shall I try to seek after it? Nanchuan answered, if you try to seek after it, you go away from it. Zhao Zhou, if I do not try for it, how can I know the way? Nanchuan, the way is not a matter of knowing or not knowing. Knowing is illusion. Not knowing is blankness. If you attain to this way of no doubt, it is as boundless as vast space. So how can there be right or wrong in the way? At these words, Zhao Zhou was suddenly enlightened. I'm going to not read the biographical material about these two. There's plenty of it. Zhao Zhou is in more koans, he figures in more koans than any other master, and we've had plenty of, we've often read biographical material about him, as well as about his teacher, Nanchuan. They both they lived in the great Tang Dynasty. Let's see. I think they both lived in the 700s. So just a little after the masters who we were reading from earlier in Sesshin, the Bodhidharma and his immediate successors. So let's get right to the case. We'll save the commentary and the verse for later. Zhao Zhou asked Nansen, what is the way? The way is the English translation of the Tao, T-A-O, pronounced Tao. And the Tao itself is a transliteration. It's a, it's taken from, actually from two central words in Buddhism, Bodhi, which means enlightenment, and Dharma. So the way means means both enlightenment and the truth. So this opening question of Zhao Zhou's is the most common one in all of Zen, the Zen tradition. It has many forms. One of the most common is, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? It's the same question. What is the way? What is Buddha? Same question. What is the way? In fact, what is Buddha is the most common form of this fundamental question that opens up so many Zen dialogues. In our age, this is not a question that anyone would ask. I've never heard it anyway. Any beginner would ask, what is Buddha? Even though what Buddha means is the enlightened one, or basically it means enlightenment, same as Bodhi. But the question that is common these days in our Western Zen is, what is enlightenment? And Zhao Zhou is asking that too. What is ultimate truth? What is our true nature? What is reality? What is the way? In Affirming Faith and Mind, this chant that we we do every day in Sesshin, and also we do it outside Sesshin, there are a number of references to the way, or the great way, starting at the beginning. So Nanchuan might have answered him, the great way is not difficult for those who do not pick and choose. The great way is without limit, beyond the easy and the hard. The one way knows no differences. The foolish cling to this and that. There are other translations. Oh, excuse me, I'm getting ahead. So, what is the way? Nanchuan answered, ordinary mind is the way. What is most commonly translated as ordinary mind could also, according to the reading I've done, could also be translated as normal. Normal mind is the way. Usual mind is the way. It comes from the same root word. This what's translated here as ordinary comes from the same root word as constant or eternal. Eternal, interesting. The normal mind is the eternal mind. Everyday mind and eternal mind are not two. One other way to understand this word is this ordinary mind is the mind of awareness. That's what normal and usual and ordinary and eternal and constant all have in common. Awareness. aware mind is the way. Zhao Zhou might have been expecting some kind of a brief explanation, or maybe even a treatise of some kind. Instead, what does Nanchuan give him? Ordinary mind is the way. No doubt it was not what he was expecting. Like so many of us, when we come to practice, no doubt Zhao Zhou saw the way, enlightenment, as some very special, distant place, some place he'd never been before, some place he could only hope to reach someday. And instead, Nanchuan says, ordinary mind is the way. Well, now he's left asking, shall I try to seek after it? Nanchuan, if you try to seek after it, you go away from it. I think most people can understand this intellectually. That if we're grasping at something, it will elude us. Something, if we're grasping for enlightenment, it will elude us. But it's very, very hard not to. If we have an aspiration to awaken to our true nature, how do we avoid seeking it? And that's Zhao Zhou's next question. If I do not try for it, how can I know the way? How can I reach it if I don't try? And Nanchuan, the way is not a matter of knowing or not knowing, reaching or not reaching. It's like asking, how can I reach Chapin Mill? Not applicable. Knowing is illusion. Not knowing is blankness. So here we see Nanchuan is stripping Zhao Zhou of all that he clings to. He wants to know the way. No, it's not in knowing. Knowing in our ordinary mind, our mind of discrimination, the mind that wants to acquire knowledge and fix things. Mind that wants to place things and categorize and classify. Knowledge isn't it. But neither, Nanchuan says, neither is not knowing. He's referring here to just the reverse of knowing, like not knowing what the capital of Bangladesh is. This not knowing is blankness, is the not knowing of Jackie Gleason's. And he's caught by his wife and ends up saying, humana, 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 humana. Nanchuan continues, if you attain to this way of no doubt, it is as boundless as vast space. So how can there be right or wrong in the way? And then at these words, Zhao Zhou was enlightened. It's worth mentioning here that Zhao Zhou when this took place, he was 30 years younger than Nanchuan. So we have a young man and a quite older man. And Zhao Zhou has all that testosterone and impatience that afflicts so many of us when we're young. What is it? What is it? What is this enlightenment anyway? How do I get there? How do I get it? Well, if I don't try to get it, if I don't try, how can I ever know it? And Nanchuan, in his patient, perceptive way, just keeps maneuvering him so that in the end his own pushiness and grasping mentality just causes him to tumble through as done in jiu-jitsu. They say they use the energy of the attacker, and by deftly maneuvering, the attacker ends up taking a fall. So it's Zhao Zhou's very notion that it's something that can be attained that has got him stymied, has got him caught. The original book about the way, which is the Tao Te Ching, there's a line that says, the truth waits for eyes unclouded by longing. And yet there is longing. For so many of us, when we come to practice, we long to know, we long to resolve the questions, the doubts, the confusion in our minds. We long to know who we are, what we're doing here, what the purpose of our life is. And no one ever would need to apologize for that longing. That is what sets us apart from the beasts, this longing to know, to understand. This is our human nature. This is our Buddha nature, our Buddha seed is that longing. But so long as that longing is tethered to the notion of some place in the future beyond us that we have to get to, some other shore that we need to reach, then we will be caught. Caught in our own longing. So what did the masters do? These great Chinese masters, they devised the koan as a way to harness all of our longing to that instead of to the idea of enlightenment. And to turn that, all of that questioning, that yearning to understand, to turn it, focus it on the koan. Get it off enlightenment. Get it off of kensho. Absolutely ingenious, this method in Zen of not denying, not suppressing this aspiration, but marshaling it and lashing it to this really direct experience, because that's what a koan becomes. It becomes a not an idea, certainly not a goal. It becomes a living, breathing reflection of ourself. It is ourself. So long as we're grasping at the thought of enlightenment, we're lost. But when we honor that great yearning, and we make it work for itself, then we have the ability to yes, awaken for the sake of all sentient beings, all beings. Then it's not a craving to get something, but it's the desire to know something. It's very different. Single mind, one with the way, all ego-centered striving cease. We could say, with single mind, one with the koan, one with the practice, all ego-centered striving cease. The practice itself, our individual practice we're working on, it combusts this craving that otherwise blocks us. There's an old Zen poem that Eitken Roshi includes in his commentary on the Mumonkan. that relates to this ordinary, this eternal. Here's how it goes. What our eyes see is ordinary. It does not frighten people, but it always remains like the moonlight on the chilled window. Even at midnight, it shines on thatched cottages. This is not the ordinary of trivial and petty concerns. Ultimately, it all comes down to the everyday, to the normal, to the ordinary. This is our life. This is our mind, our awareness. So long as we look past the everyday, at what we think is something to be attained out there, we'll miss it. There's nothing ordinary about the ordinary. The great Layman Pong, one of the most famous of the enlightened Chinese laymen, very famous saying, he said, "Drawing water and carrying firewood are spiritual powers and sublime functions." They certainly can be. They have that potential. If we bring to these so-called mundane activities full awareness, full Buddha. If we bring to the everyday this way that is our nature, I bet Nan Chuang would appreciate this saying we had during the Vietnam War, when there was more of a peace movement. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. It's not about getting from here to there, but opening our eyes to what is right in front of us and has always been in front of us. Another word, still another word for way, is mind. Mind with a capital M, our true mind. Then we have the commentary by Mumon. Questioned by Zhao Zhou, Nan Chuan, like melting ice and disintegrating tile, dissolved and could not offer a plausible explanation. Even though Zhao Zhou has come to a realization, he must delve into it for another 30 years before he can understand it fully. According to the records, this was Zhao Zhou's first awakening. He was 18, and he didn't come to what we're told was full enlightenment until he was 56. And then, even then, he didn't begin teaching. He just roamed far and wide through China, engaging in Dharma combat with other masters, and he didn't begin teaching until he was 80. And then he taught for 40 years, from 80 to 120. As anyone knows who has entered the first gate, has had a breakthrough in their practice, it's in a sense, it's the beginning. The work goes on. If you don't know it right away, you find out soon enough. It's another great benefit of the koan system, is running into your imperfect understanding, the blind spots you continue to have, the confusion, the ongoing confusion, not to mention all of the lingering defilements of our personality and character. These things get sifted through by the koans, by the subsequent koans. Here, Mumon is having fun comparing Nanshuan to his responses to Zhaozhou. There is like melting ice and disintegrating tile. He couldn't offer a plausible explanation. It's a good thing he couldn't. Had he tried to explain it to Zhaozhou, poor Zhaozhou may not have awakened. Zen Master Dogen said, "There is no beginning to practice and end to enlightenment." Or, "There is no beginning to enlightenment and end to practice." No matter what we've realized, no matter where we are in our practice, there's plenty more work. Because mind itself is boundless. If mind is boundless, how can we ever come to some arrival point where we're finished, done? The ways beyond all space, all time, one instant is 10,000 years. And then Mumon's verse. Hundreds of flowers in spring, the moon in autumn, a cool breeze in summer, and snow in winter. If your mind is not clouded with unnecessary things, no season is too much for you. Sound of the crickets in the early fall, the honking of geese in flight. If your mind is not clouded with unnecessary things, no season is too much for you. Of course, we get a taste of this in Sesshin, taste of the world. when it is unobscured by the thought commotion in the mind, when thoughts settle, we perceive things in an entirely fresh and new way. In another koan, Umon says, every day is a good day. When the mind is empty, free of the encumbrances of thoughts, any kind of thoughts, including thoughts of enlightenment as something out there we have to get to, time is up. We'll stop now and recite the four vows.